Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the proposed solar farm in western Spotsylvania with S-Power, the group that is making the proposal. This morning, we've got three residents from that area to talk about some concerns they have, and we'll hear from them as we go along this morning. Dave Hammond is here, Sean Fogarty is here, and Kevin McCarthy is here. Good morning. Welcome. I'm glad you guys all could come in this morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Your group, is it Spotsylvania? Is it Concerned Citizens of Fawn Lake and Spotsylvania County? Is that kind of the group you have? Talk about how this group came about, and when did you find out about this project?
We found out about the project within the last just 6 months or so. And, as we became aware of it, this group just kind of coagulated, just came together. We had a number of concerns about it. And so we've been working as an ad hoc group. We're not a formal kind of organization or a nonprofit. We're just a group of concerned citizens in Spotsylvania that have raised some issues that the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors have just not been, not necessarily been aware of. So we're working very closely with the county, with the Planning Commission and the Board, and they've been very appreciative of the information and the expertise. Among our group, there are engineers and geologists and people who know some things about this kind of a project. And so that's what we've been doing.
It was interesting, Kevin, a few months ago when the Board of Supervisors were talking about this, and it was apparent that they were looking at zoning things and trying to get some things in order for this project, that this is new. This is something that, at least on the East Coast, that we're not used to.
Very much so, and that's one of our key concerns, is the scale of this thing. Just to put some perspective around this, as it's proposed, this would be the fifth largest power plant, solar power plant, in America. The other four are in the desert, in California, Nevada, and Arizona. Nothing of this size has ever been, this type of solar plant has ever been built anywhere near a residential neighborhood. So we're talking about 10 square miles, 6,500 acres, is 10 square miles. That's the same size as the size of the city of Fredericksburg. That's half the size of Manhattan. So we're talking about a huge piece of land here and an enormous project. The largest solar energy facility on the East Coast is in Moyock, North Carolina, and that's 120 megawatts. That's only begun in March of this year. The largest one in Virginia is 100 megawatts in Southampton, started in December of 2017. 3 years ago, the largest plant in Virginia was 20 megawatts. So this is an enormous step up in scale, 500% increase in anything that we have in the state of Virginia. So there hasn't been enough time to study the impacts of this, the environmental impacts, the large solar panels are going to have, negative environmental impacts from next to residential neighborhoods. That this needs to be studied very carefully before any decision is made to move forward with something like this.
The State Corporation Commission held a hearing last week, and then they also had a hearing earlier in the spring. I think it was in May in Spotsylvania County, and I guess they're looking at, I think it's called a certificate of public convenience and necessity, and I guess that's kind of the next step that you're waiting for, and then we'll get into what the county looks at it. Is that how it goes?
It's done in parallel.
Okay.
So the state's looking at it.
And the State Corporation Commission looks at it really from a regulatory position, protecting the grid, make sure the grid is not destabilized by this or impacted. And they also, of course, handle electrical rates and that type of thing. And they have to provide this license to operate because the size of this plant is more than 150 megawatts. The state has a rule called permit by rule, where smaller solar facilities can basically skip the state licensing aspect and go directly to the counties for special use permits, which is what they're going through in Spotsylvania. So to put in context with size that Kevin brought up, we looked a couple of months ago at the DEQ site and they list all of the solar projects that are being developed in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
On their site, they have 73 solar projects. So one of the comments that people tell us often is, well, this is just these are going up all over the place. This is just another one. Well, out of those 73 solar projects, the average size is 20 megawatts. This thing is 500 megawatts. And there are a handful on a site that are 100 or greater, eight or nine, greater than 100 megawatts. But then there's this huge jump up to 500 megawatts. So this is really an outlier. And that's one of our big concerns about this is it's the first project in Spotsylvania. The county just passed an ordinance to allow this last fall.
Yeah.
So this is brand new. So we're all learning. We're all working together and trying to figure out how to manage this and do no harm from this project. This one.
It's new for the county, but also the company has a lot of experience with solar, but the average size facility that they operate is 17 or 18 megawatts. So they've built and installed or operate dozens and dozens of these 20 megawatt, 25, 30, 10 megawatt plants, mostly out west. This is a huge step up for them. Completely different climate. The size, as Dave mentioned, is so much larger. Water issues are much bigger, erosion. It's a lot different when you look at a picture of one of their facilities in Southern California, mm-hmm. which is got a bunch of these smaller ones kind of put together. That's flat desert, high desert. We're talking about a completely different system. And there, it's kind of been apparent to us that they weren't ready to evaluate this kind of an environment. And the county and the staff in the county are really looking hard at some of these concerns that we have and that the county has of doing something like that here.
And this is S-Power's first project in Virginia.
Yeah, it's their first one out here. And they've admitted this is a huge step up for them. And we want to make sure, as Dave says, this is the first solar facility in the county.
Yeah.
So, it needs to be done right.
Yeah, you're talking from 20 megawatts to 500.
Yeah.
It's 20 25.
Yeah. 20 megawatts. Yeah. That's huge. Yeah. Yeah.
All at once instead of staged out, which would be one way to address the scale issue is, start with a 20, build up and build the experience and build forward. Don't just start with a world scale plant first out of the box.
Yeah, it'd be one of the top 10 or 12 largest in the world. It's the fifth largest
in
America.
World.
It would be, I think it's number 12, 10 or 12.
Yeah, and when the S-Power rep was here a couple of weeks ago, he talked about this facility in Lancaster, California, which they operate, which is, by our calculation, 700 and some megawatts. But when you look back at it, it was built over 5 years, 20 or 30 megawatts at a time. And it was built up gradually by that city, which contracted with S-Power. So they've built this thing up like that. They didn't go in and say, we're going to build a 700 megawatt facility. It was done over time. And actually, that's something that we think is a smart way to do it. Like Dave mentions, is start small, see what the impacts are, look at erosion. Does the vegetation grow back?
Yeah.
Do you have stormwater issues and things like that? That's something that we think would be a good approach.
We're talking about the proposed solar farm in Spotsylvania County in western Spotsylvania. Sean Fogarty is here. Dave Hammond is here. Kevin McCarthy is here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking about the proposed solar farm in Spotsylvania County, western Spotsylvania, over off Catharpin Road near Fawn Lake this morning. We have in studio with us Dave Hammond, Sean Fogarty, and Kevin McCarthy. When we, Dave talked about this a few weeks ago with the representative from S-Power, he talked a lot about how Spotsylvania County would benefit from that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Talk about that, because does Spotsylvania gain a lot from this? Sean, you want to do that?
I think perspective is important there. They talked about an increase taxes of about $600,000 per year that they'll be paying, which is a decent amount of money. But when you look at the fact that they're taking up 2.4% of the land of the county, this facility, and that's about a half a percent of the budget of the county, $600,000. So what are the costs to that? Well, we've got, it's certainly during construction, a lot of additional wear and tear on our roads and bridges, which is going to have to be paid for. The county staff is really stretched thin already, and you wouldn't have expected them to be staffed up to be able to instantly handle a 500 megawatt solar plant proposal. So they've had to put an RFP out to hire some other experts to assist them. Then when you get to the operation of the plant, there's inspections required by the county. Emergency responders have to be ready to respond, have to do training out there. That's all additional staff or additional training time. And that doesn't count the potential catastrophe or problem that comes with a weather event out there, where the county might have to marshal some resources to get out there and take care of a problem. The other impact that maybe Dave could talk about a little more is they're putting this power into the grid, which is true, and that it won't affect our electric rates. But there's an issue there with the more solar power you have, the more strain you're putting on the remaining parts of our power distribution system, and it can, down the road, cause an increase in electric rates.
You talked about this last week, I think, in front of the SEC, David, and I had never heard it. It was called the duck curve.
Yes, yeah. Strange name.
Yeah. But talk about what, because, I mean, this was part of the topic last week, I know, with the SEC, and they had some interest in this, just because it could affect residents' rates.
Yeah, so the duck curve is an explanation of why these types of intermittent power production can increase electrical rates. And the reason solar does this is because solar energy, of course, only is generated during the day. So at night, of course, there's no solar. As the sun comes up and you get to midday, really the peak generation of solar is only midday. It isn't every time it's light outside, but sort of right around, say, 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock or so, depending on the time of year. So it's a peak capacity 4 to 6 hours a day. And so what has to happen, the grid always has to be in balance. And so as solar production increases, then the conventional power grid has to decrease its production in the morning, and then later in the day, as the sun starts going down, the conventional power grid has to start picking up rate. So it's a big ramp down in the morning, a big ramp up in the afternoon. And actually, the peak load of the day is late in the day, around 8 o'clock at night. And so what they found in California, a lot of this is based on experience in California, where they've, of course, got a lot of this renewable energy already on the ground. About 14% of California power generation now is solar. Another small percent is wind. So these have the problem of this intermittent power generation. Mm-hmm. And what the duck curve shows is that as solar is added, it places more and more stress on the grid, and eventually you get to a point where the grid can no longer handle it. So what California does, and it's particularly a problem in the winter and spring time frame when air conditioning loads are not high, so the demand is not real high, and you hit the limit of where the grid can no longer ramp down. And what California has to do at those times is either pay other states to take the power, either at discounted rates, or sometimes they actually pay the money to take the electricity because they don't have anything else to do with it, or they have to start shutting down the solar facilities. And so they have this problem routinely in California, and you can imagine that is a direct contributor to increasing their electric rates. And California has about 40% higher electric rates than the rest of the country, than the average of the country. So it's not going to happen immediately in Virginia. You have to build up to where you have enough solar generation that the grid can no longer handle the flexibility. And that's what I asked the SEC last week was, please take a look at this. Look at when we're going to start hitting limits on the grid, and then find a way to protect the taxpayers and ratepayers. You know, the people that are benefiting from the sale of this electricity. You know, S-Power is selling the power to Microsoft and other companies.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
It's not going to us. There's no, you know, benefit for us as far as cheaper electric rates or any of that. This is a business. They're generating power to sell it to Microsoft and others. And if they cause inefficiencies in the grid and there's a cost associated with them, then they ought to pay for those.
As you heard in the S-Power interview a couple of weeks ago, he said that, well, it's not going really to Microsoft. There's not a green electron that I'm producing that Microsoft is buying. It's going into the PJM grid, and Microsoft is buying power from the grid. So there's not really a connection there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, it's not directly going to them. But the purpose of the business is to sell the power, and so they create this ramp down and ramp up effect that I was talking about.
A couple of questions have come in, and kind of just on what the land is like there. And I think you all could easily answer this. The question is, what is currently on the land being proposed for the solar farm? Is it currently farmland, or are they taking homes? And then, will this permanently be a solar farm, or could it eventually go back to being whatever it was before?
Well, right now it's it was until last year mainly wooded and some agriculturally zoned. A couple of big companies, timber companies that owned it have timbered all that area, so it's basically barren now. But it's pretty. There's an elevation difference there. And also, there's quite a bit of stumps, smaller branches, and cutover there that has to be dealt with before S-Power could put panels in there. But there's a number of streams that run through there. Like I say, there's an elevation difference. There's some wildlife in there. And it's completely different from the type of terrain that S-Power has dealt with in the desert Southwest.
Well, and like I just the weather around here. You think about the weather here and what we get is much different.
So it picks up the point of erosion and runoff. One of the concerns. So there are, as Sean said, there are numerous streams that run through it, and a lot of hilly terrain. And what they're going to have to do is come in and level off a lot of the land. So regrading is going to be, I think, extensive. They haven't come up with a regrading plan yet, but that's going to be a critical thing because they need, you know, vast flat fields to put these panels in, and the panels need to be oriented north-south and they will tilt to follow the sun east to west. So it leads to some concerns with, as you say, the stormwater runoff and erosion. And that's a significant problem because several of the streams that run through this site are designated by the DEQ as threatened and endangered species waters. And for example, Robertson Run, McCracken Creek, Plentiful Creek, they designated, DEQ designated as a moderate environmental significance. But most of this is the watershed that creates the Po River. And of course, the Po flows into the Mattapani, which flows into the York River, and eventually into the Chesapeake. So everything's flowing to the Chesapeake. And, you know, we're protective, of course, of the Chesapeake. So
yeah.
A severe erosion problem would be significant. And, you know, it's been in the news this year about problems down in Essex County. They have a 200-acre solar plant that was built, started up, I think, in February. And a week after the opening ceremony for this plant, they started having this severe muddy runoff. And, you know, it flowed directly into the Rappahannock. And it's continuing, my understanding, is continuing to be a problem. So that type of muddy runoff into these types of protected creeks would really be a big problem.
We need to take a break. We'll talk a little bit more about just some of the environmental situation, and continue to talk about what is proposed here in Spotsylvania, the proposed solar farm in western Spotsylvania. Our focus this morning with concerned citizens of Fawn Lake and Spotsylvania County. Sean Fogarty here, Kevin McCarthy, Dave Hammond here. More coming up. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking about the proposed solar farm in Spotsylvania County in western Spotsylvania off Catharpin Road with Dave Hammond, Sean Fogarty, and Kevin McCarthy here this morning from the Concerned Citizens of Fawn Lake and Spotsylvania County. Before we took the break, we were talking about just, Dave, you were talking about some of the environmental concerns. And it's interesting, each of those environmental concerns you talk about, those are big deals. Yeah. And you talk about any of them, and you don't want to have any problems with any of that.
Right. And it's a lot different than what S-Power is used to out in California. You know, we were talking before about Lancaster, California, big flat area. They don't have to deal with sensitive environmental conditions like these streams and wetlands. The other thing they're not used to dealing with, I think, is the Virginia clay. So we talked about regrading, and this is a big deal because the soil is not hydric, which means it doesn't absorb water when it rains. And in fact, S-Power just did a soil survey that showed that is the case. They confirmed that is the case. So you can imagine bulldozers going out, flattening the ridges and creating these big fields, and then what happens? That's the concern of how do you manage the stormwater? How do you avoid, you know, another runoff problem? And there are other environmental concerns where runoff related to chemical use, herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers is a big one, right? As far as the types of fertilizers that'll be used to grow grass quickly, they're going to want to grow grass as quickly as they can. And what happens when that material runs off into these sensitive streams? So there's a lot of issues. Again, it goes back to our theme of do no harm. You know, we want to make sure that we protect the environment and we don't cause other problems.
Groundwater and things like that we've been talking about runoff, but I mean there's also, I guess, some groundwater concerns.
Yeah, we have a concern about the amount of water that's going to be needed for the facility, particularly during the construction phase. S-Power initially, when they came in with the proposal, said they were going to need 300 million gallons of water drawn from the aquifer that supplies well water for thousands of homes. Now, since we've they need 300 million gallons for the 18 months of construction. Now, since we've kind of raised this as an issue, that's apparently been reduced a bit to around 200 million gallons. Either way, plus 8 million gallons a year that they're going to need for maintenance of the facility, for washing the panels and watering, landscaping, et cetera. So a recent study by GeoSeer, which is an independent GIS geology firm, concluded that the local aquifer is not robust enough to sustain industrial taps in quantity to supply water to a solar power site of the proposed magnitude. So there could be damage to the aquifer. And there are thousands of households that depend on well water. Many of these residents, they already report problems that they're having during periods of drought, and any stress on the aquifer would certainly exacerbate this. So if there is a real serious impact that, oh, we don't have well water, how does Spotsylvania County get water? Who's responsible for that? Who covers the damage that could be caused by this? Because the study has basically said it's not robust enough to support it. Who knows what's going to happen? So farmers in the area depend on water for irrigation. Homes depend on that aquifer for well water. Fawn Lake receives water from springs in the area, so it could make the lake level go down, make it unusable. So, damage to the aquifer could be irreversible. So, who's going to pay for that? Do no harm.
Right. Over and over, I guess that is your that's the message, I guess, that you want to get out and that you want to make sure whether it's the county or the state keeps that in mind. Yeah. One of the things, and I guess a couple of things that I've heard, and I'll let you guys, any of you that want to address it. You've discussed some of the concerns, but those that say, well, this is solar, and this is the future, and you should be thrilled that a proposed solar farm is proposed for Spotsylvania and in the area where you live. Now, you've addressed a lot of that already this morning.
Yeah. Well, I would just say a couple of things. First of all, solar farm makes it sound like a scenic, pasture kind of place. And we're talking about 1.8 million solar panels. And pile driving those in over an 18-month period and all the cabling and infrastructure that goes with that. It's a power plant. It's a huge power plant. And it doesn't mean it can't be built, but it has to be built in the right way. The risks have to be mitigated properly. And I also will say the county is really doing a good job of analyzing this proposal. And they've already, the initial proposal was submitted in January. They pushed back on S-Power. They had to redo it, and it was actually officially finalized in March. And then the county came back in May with 12-page detailed letter of their concerns, and S-Power is trying to respond to those. They just provided some input back. So I would give a lot of compliments to the county and their efforts. But this process is detailed. It's going to take a long time. Just as one example, the county is strongly suggesting to S-Power that they limit their development to 400 acres at a time as they do site clearing. Dave was talking about the erosion factors.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And in fact, that's kind of the way, and for different reasons, that's kind of the way they did Lancaster, California. They did it in these smaller groups. 400 acres would come out to 40 or 50 megawatts. That actually makes sense to us to do that and then finalize it and then wait a year and see what happens. Does vegetation grow back and things like that? There's a huge learning curve. The Planning Commission has done a lot of work already, and the Board of Supervisors has heard a lot, but there's a lot more information still that needs to come out and needs to be analyzed and that the Board of Supervisors needs to really look at closely.
No, I think we're all learning.
You know, when you say solar is the future, you know, one of the reasons that Germany is making a pipeline deal with Russia and Putin right now is that they've shut down all their nuclear facilities and have tried to go total, you know, increase the renewable percentage, and it's not necessarily working. So they're going to be having to produce electricity fastest way to get it back is to build gas. I just read an article. It's funny, on the way over here, you mentioned that. On the way over here in the car this morning, I was reading. I read an article specifically about this. That's one of the reasons that pipeline deal is being made. So.
The other is the fact, or you hear, well, they're against it because, you know, it's in their backyard, you know, it's not in my backyard type of thing.
Well, I mean, it's got us concerned. It's got our attention. But it's the first one in the county at all. So the county overall has to consider this. The next one could be we're in the Livingston District. It could be proposed by another company or the same company in the Berkeley District. And if this goes through without a lot of really close analysis, the next one would have that much easier route, and pretty soon Spotsylvania will look like the Mojave Desert in terms of just panels everywhere. So there's a lot of people, 2,700 homes affected. And again, some of us in our group don't want to see it built at all, but most of us, I think, just want it to be done properly. And we're not seeing that this company has laid out enough detailed plans, site plans, development plans that will show that it's going to be done properly. And that at the end of this, one other little item just to mention related to that is the county's requiring them to post a bond so that if there's a big catastrophic weather event or the company goes out of business, mm-hmm. or somehow it has to be abandoned, what are we left with? 6,000 some acres of toxic materials that has to be dealt with. The bond they proposed initially was just over $1 million, which is less than a dollar a panel. We pushed back on that, and so did the county. Then they came back and said, well, how about $5.4 million? But we're going to take a lot of credit for recycling the panels and getting money back.
In 30 years.
30 years from now. But the best info we've seen is that it's going to cost. People don't want these panels. They've got cadmium. They've got some nasty materials in them. Even if it doesn't leach out, which we think there's some potential, you've got to deal with that. You just can't take it to the spots of any landfill. And that's money that you've got to hire somebody to come in and do that. And so there's a big disconnect between us and the county and this company on how much that bond should be. The best data we have shows more like $30 million to $50 million would be the proper amount, mm-hmm. to protect the whole county, because it's not just the Livingston District people that would have to deal with it. The whole county would have to deal with a toxic waste recycling issue that they'd have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of a neighbor would they be? After these almost 2 million panels go in, what's it like for those who would live near this facility?
Well, I think that if it's done properly, it could work out fine. Setbacks are a big part of this. They have initially, their site plan showed 50-foot setbacks, which is sort of the standard setback between a business entity and a residential property. This isn't your typical business entity. So we've pushed back quite a bit, and so has the county. They've modified their site plan a little bit in some areas that provide larger setbacks, but the plan still shows 50 feet in a lot of areas. 50 feet is pretty close to be looking out at these panels that go 10 or 12 feet up in the air, not just a couple, but, you know, millions. And we were really like, they talk about not being seen or heard, but we really want to see commitments, I guess, on their part that's really going to happen. How big are these berms going to be? The vegetation's gone in a lot of areas. The timber company removed it. So they can't just plant a 3-foot shrub and say, well, that's going to screen you. Well, maybe in 30 years that'll screen you. So they really have to, and that's obviously money for them, and they have to maybe give up some of the property that they had, or the land they had considered for panels. But that's, I think, part of being a good neighbor that we're looking to see from them.
And I'll pick up on that. You know, when they S-Power first announced the project and they came into these community meetings, they used that same phrase. We're going to be the perfect neighbor. You're not going to see us. You're not going to hear us. And that made me feel good. It's like, okay, this is good. You know, they'll just be out there and they'll pay taxes into the county. Sounds great. But as Sean said, when we first saw these site plans and they pushed panels 50 feet right up to their property line, it's like there was a big disconnect. You know, you guys say you're not going to be seen nor heard, but But you're putting 50 feet off the property line with no protection at all, no barriers, no berms, nothing. And so, you know, frankly, that made me angry. It's like, you guys are promising one thing, but your plans show something else. And you had asked before about this not in your backyard thing, and we of course hear that routinely. Well, I'll tell you, you know, all three of us live far enough away from this thing that we're not going to see it. Mm-hmm. And apart from pile drivers during construction, we're not going to hear it, certainly during operation. The reason I got into this was the water issue that Kevin talked about. I'm chairman of the Lake Environment Committee for Fawn Lake. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of money caring for the lake. And when I started to realize there was a threat to the lake from this project because of the groundwater extraction, that got me engaged. In fact, the whole Lake Environment Committee is engaged in this right now. And so it's not that, you know, literally in my backyard, it's not. But to protect the environment, we've all spent hundreds of hours studying this. I mean, I have no background in solar, you know, before January. I mean, I never had one on my roof or any of that. But I tell you, we've built a big database. We've done a lot of research, and we share this amongst each other so each of our members can make up their own mind and
yeah,
have their own decisions made.
I did want to add also the will not be seen or heard issue. In the place where there, on the East Coast, where there is experience with this, in Currituck County, the Moyock site that I mentioned earlier, it's 120 megawatt facility. That already has a 300 foot, not 50 foot setback. And that the county down there is apparently considering increasing that for anything in the future to 1,000 feet
in certain areas,
of setback. Yeah.
Certain areas.
We are talking about this proposed solar facility in Spotsylvania. Concerned citizens of Fawn Lake and Spotsylvania County. Kevin McCarthy, Sean Fogarty, and Dave Hammond here. We will wrap this up when we come back. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be back to conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about this proposed solar facility in Spotsylvania this morning. Dave Hammond, Sean Fogarty, and Kevin McCarthy here, concerned citizens of Fawn Lake and Spotsylvania County. Just a couple of minutes left. Dave, one of the things we talked about with the S-Power folks, the representative a few weeks ago, about the panels, because I know that they do contain some toxic materials.
Right. They're proposing to use cadmium telluride panels, at least some of them. They've changed recently to also includes some crystalline silicon panels. And our concern with cadmium is leaching of this material when the panels get broken. And I won't go into a lot of detail. They claim there's no risk. Well, there are scientific reports out there that show that under certain conditions, especially acidic conditions, when the panels are broken, that extreme amounts of leaching can occur. And then the cadmium will get into the soil, will get into the water, and potentially be a disaster. So, you know, one of my nightmares on this is a tornado goes through the site, tears up all the panels, really breaks them up, and disperses them around the countryside. How do we find that material? How good a cleanup are we going to be able to do, and what kind of risk? And they have an option. This monoperc panel is the option, is crystalline silicon. It doesn't contain any cadmium. So they could go to this other type of panel and get this concern off the table. It's just a matter of money.
How can people get in touch with you or work with you or find out more about what you're doing?
We have a Facebook page, Concerned Citizens of Spotsylvania. Fawn Lake in Spotsylvania. And an email, a Gmail address, same thing, concerncitizensoffawnlake@gmail.com.
It seems like the couple of things that you have talked over and over again, obviously do no harm, and just the massive scale of this is right. The two of your concerns.
The key messages we'd like to take your audience to take away from this is that the people need to be aware that the scale of this thing introduces potential problems. There's no proof of concept for something like this, and it's a big step out in from any experience that anyone has on the East Coast. And our key message is, there should be do no harm to the aquifer, to the wells, the streams, wetlands, natural resources, public health. You know, the character of the county. This is a rural, agricultural county, and electricity costs, rate increases, all the things that we've talked about here today. So.
Dave Hammond, Sean Fogarty, Kevin McCarthy with the Concerned Citizens of Fawn Lake in Spotsylvania County. Thank you for coming in. Let's do this again. We'll do this again, and it's good to get the information out. Good luck to you, and thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.